Now, the second of the deluded views is called view holding to an extreme. And so this one is based on the wrong view of, you know, the view of the transitory collection, okay? Because the view holding to an extreme is a deluded intelligence that refers to that inherently existent I or mind that was conceived by the view of the transitory collection and looks at that inherent existent I or mind in either an eternalistic way or a nihilistic way. So I'll explain what these two terms mean, okay? We have, from the wrong view of the transitory collection, we have this feeling of this solid, independent, concrete person. This second view holding to an extreme, looks at this solid, independent, concrete person and says, ah, it can look at it in one of two ways. It says, either one way is, ah, this thing is eternal. This is solid, unchanging, never becomes anything else. Or it looks at that solid thing person and says, oh, after I die, that person just doesn't exist. There's nothing there at all. So here's where we get these two extremes called eternalism, or sometimes it's called permanence, and nihilism. And you'll hear these two terms come in very, very often in teachings about emptiness, okay? Because we tend to fall to two extremes. One is we make the I just, you know, I is unchanging, it survives death, it continues indefinitely, it's a soul. You know, that's the eternalistic view of this inherently existent I. And the flip side of that is the nihilistic view saying, ah, when I die, because my body disintegrates, I completely disintegrate. There's no person there. So therefore, you know, there's no past, there's no future lives. There's nobody who accumulates karma. There's nobody who experiences the result of karma. So it's very, very nihilistic. And so we tend, when we're trying to meditate on emptiness, we tend to flip-flop between these two extremes. Yeah? And one moment our mind is like grasping at there's I, and then the next moment our mind is saying, well, if there's no I, if there's no solid I, then there's nothing that exists at all. There's just space. Yeah? And so the mind, you know, this is why understanding the middle view is so difficult, because it means going beyond getting stuck in these two extremes. Yeah? And this nihilism is extremely dangerous. They say of these two extreme views, the nihilistic one is the worst one. We're already eternalistic. We're already grasping an inherently existent I, you know, that's continuing on forever. But the nihilistic one, and that one, you know, with that one, we just create a lot of negative karma. But the nihilistic one view is so dangerous because that one throws karma out the window. At least if we're grasping at inherent existence, at least we might have the idea of karma and value karma. And that's much to our benefit. But when we fall to nihilism, then we just get this thing, and you hear a lot of people talk about this. There's no good and there's no bad. It's all empty. You ever heard people say this? Yeah? You know, it's all empty. There's no good. There's no bad. There's no need to keep ethics because it's all empty. Good and bad are just creation of our mind. If we don't create them, there's no good. There's no bad. I can do anything I want. You know, that's incredibly dangerous nihilistic view that comes from misunderstanding emptiness. Many people you hear, you know, kind of talking like this. It sounds great, doesn't it? There's no good, there's no good, there's no bad, it all doesn't matter, it's all empty. Yeah? And so that's why they say that, you know, understanding the middle path is so subtle, because you're understanding that things aren't inherently existent, but they sure do exist and they sure do function. Yeah? It's a real subtle distinction there. That's why in one text, Lama Tsongkhapa praises the Buddha, and, you know, is really praising the Buddha for really delineating this middle view in such a fine way, you know, being able to balance everything. Because it's so easy to flip-flop. So that's what this one is, view holding to an extreme. Yeah. So this is actually what you were asking about, Gaia, you know, this idea of the self that's kind of eternal and unchanging, but it kind of changes situation to situation. That's the nihilistic, the eternalistic view of the self. And you can, when we start thinking about this, we can see we're chock-a-block full of wrong views. Yeah. Totally chock-a-block. Yeah. What of your ancestors is alive in you? Yeah? Yeah? What is, and this is this whole thing about, you know, grasping onto, religious identity or ethnic identity or nationalistic feelings or all these kind of stuff. It's all based on this wrong view of the self. Yeah. All based on creating something where there's nothing there. Yeah. And imbuing it with all sorts of incredible meaning. And that's the thing. Conventionally, we can say I'm a woman or I'm Caucasian or I'm this or I'm that. But, try finding anybody who's a woman or anybody who's Caucasian or anybody who's Buddhist anywhere here. You know, and drawing a line around it. Very difficult. Yeah?
I wanted to encourage growing up.
Oh, this is a real good question. Yeah, how can, one thing that I think is real helpful is, and I think that we can understand it, is like when you're a kid or a grown up, whenever you start getting this really strong feeling, this is mine, then just to stop and ask ourselves, who does this belong to? What inside of this thing, like I look at this clock and I say, this is mine! You can't play with it, you know? Well, what inside of this clock is mine? Yeah? What inside of this, where can I find mine somewhere inside of this? What am I going to point to as mine? Yeah? And I think kids can understand that, you know? There's a ball or a truck and they're, you know, it's mine. Where? What? What's mine in the whole thing? Yeah, so I think that's one way maybe kids can begin to approach it. Okay, then the third kind of wrong view is called holding wrong views as supreme. So this is a deluded intelligence that either looks at this first one, the view of the transitory collection, or the second one, the view holding to an extreme, or one we're going to come to, but maybe not tonight, called wrong views. And this particular view says all these other wrong views are the best views to have. Okay? Yeah. This is the kind of, when you start looking in your mind, you can start to see all these different things, you know, that you can begin to look, identify all your different wrong views, and then identify the wrong view that thinks that wrong view is the best view to have. You know, it's like somebody might be prejudiced, and then there's another mind that looks at their own prejudice and says, oh, but being prejudiced is so good, it's so fine, it's really right on. Everybody should be like this. So you not only have the prejudice, but then you have the view that thinks the prejudice is the best way to believe. That's what this one is. Okay? And then the next two wrong views I'll leave for Monday, because they're kind of interesting. One is called holding bad ethics and modes of conduct as supreme, and that one's real interesting. And then the other one is just called regular old wrong views. So, yeah. So we'll save those until Monday. But I think going into this in, you know, a little bit of depth right now is really quite useful because this is all descriptions of our own mind. You know, this isn't a description of, you know, something that's happening half the world away. This is just a framework for, that we can use to look at our own experience. And it's very, very fruitful that way. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, oh, I didn't realize I was thinking like that. I didn't believe, I didn't understand I really have these kinds of views. Any questions? You all long viewed out. Views, yeah. Oh, just the definition of deluded views? Okay. It was either a deluded intelligence that looks at the aggregates as an inherently existent I or mine, or independent upon that view, it's a deluded intelligence that generates all kinds of other wrong views. Okay? So that's why deluded view is this broad, overhanging category for wrong view of the transitory collection and view of the extreme and holding wrong views as supreme and all these other ones. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm. So noticing how much pride plays a role in. Yeah, yeah. That's real good, you know? I mean, that's exactly how you should be looking at the teachings, is taking it and then just becoming aware of how, what's going on in your own life. And that's true. I mean, the pride comes up all the time. Always making a big deal out of me. And it's real funny. I mean, this is, I think, where we have to also develop a sense of humor to be able to laugh at ourselves, at how we think sometimes. Yeah, I shouldn't be so proud. Yeah. That's why I think a sense of humor is really important with ourselves. Some kind of, you know, being able to laugh at our own garbage instead of expecting ourselves to be perfect. Because that's the kind of pride, isn't it? I shouldn't have all these delusions. I should be gold star Dharma student. You know.